Okay, we're up to Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, maybe Pasuk Vav. It's talking about Mordechai Tzadik, and Pasuk says, Asher Hoglim Yerushalayim, Himagoyel Asher Hoglisam Yechonya Melech Yehuda, that he was exiled from Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says four different Lashonis of exile, Asher Heglin, Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel. To tell you that he went back, each time he was kicked out, he went back, and they kept on making sure that he left, because he had a tremendous love for Yerushalayim, but they were afraid to have Anashim Gedolim there, so they exiled them first. So Mordechai was kicked out a number of times. He Oimin as Hadassah, Mordechai adopted the girl named Hadassah. He Esther, this is the same Esther that we're going to be talking about. Bas Doidoi, she was his cousin. Ki ein lo aveim. He adopted her because she didn't have parents. There's an interesting pshat, I don't remember who I saw it from, that explains that why it was necessary that Esther should be a soima without parents, because she was ultimately going to be going up against Haman. Haman was from the Zera, in fact, an actual Gilgal of sorts, of Esav of Russia. And Esav's chus, the thing that he had going for him was his tremendous kibud avim. So therefore, it would have been a problem if a person who was not as accomplished in kibud avim, and who could be as accomplished as Esav, says that his kibud avim was so great, then everybody else is nichshal somewhere in kibud avim. So therefore, the Rebbeinu Shlom took someone who essentially never had a father and mother. From when she was born, she was a yosaima, so that she shouldn't have that chesaron, at least, of having been nichshal in kibud avim. I would be moisef on that it could be that. I mean, she's still missing the positive aspect of it, but at least she didn't have the chesaron of kibud avim, which is similar to what it says that Mordechai didn't have to bow down to Haman because his grandfather Binyamin never bowed down to Esav, right? The question is, it says in fact that because of that he was zeichet to have the Beis Hamikdash b'chelkai, because he never bowed down to Esav. The Brisker Rav asks, what do you mean never bowed down? He wasn't there. If he would have been there, he would have bowed down. It's not such a great thing that he didn't bow down. He happened not to have been. He wasn't born yet, Binyamin. So he says, Enochanami, he wasn't born. But not having that chesar, not having that taint of having bowed down to Esav, gave him a leg up that the Beis HaMikdash could be built b'chelkai. And so too over here, Esther not having the negative aspects of a lack of kibud avim, at least meant that she had a chance against Haman. I would be meisif that it could be that meisif she was adopted. So she had the opportunity to do kibud av, perhaps you can call it as a eina mitzuva v'oisa. She's not mechuyev to respect Mordechai as an av. But could be there's an aspect of the positive, you know, the negative there isn't, because she doesn't have a chiyuv of kibud avim for adopted parents. Certainly not as the same way that she would have for regular parents. But over here, she had both ma'ila. She didn't have actual parents, so she couldn't have the chesaron of kibud avim, but she could have the ma'ila in that Mordechai had adopted her, and we see that she was very mechabed him, which you see it throughout the Megillah, and obviously that was a continuation of her previous life with him. Mordechai took her for a daughter, and he adopted her as a daughter. As we know, the Chazal Darshan that he actually married her eventually. Levas is Labayas. I'll just say one thing, an interesting point. We know that the Yud is the letter of an Ish, and the Hey is the letter of an Isha, right? Chazal say that if there's Shalom between Ish and Isha, so then there's Shalom Bayis, and the Shechina is Shoyer B'neihem, because the Ish has his Yud, and the Isha has her Hey. Otherwise, they're Ish, and it's a fire. I would just say that the drasha of Bas, which becomes Bayis, relates to that, because since the Yud is the Ois of Chochma and the Ois of the Zohar, and there's another Maimer Chazal that says that anybody who's Dor B'lo Yish is Dor B'lo Choyme, Dor B'lo Bayis, he doesn't have a house. So what happens is that when a person takes a Bas, so his Yud goes between the Beis and the Tof of the Bas, the Yud of the Ish, she becomes the Chayma, she like becomes the protection for him, she keeps him in line in certain areas, and that together is the Bas, the Beis and the Tof of Bas, and the Yud of the Ish creates the Bayis. And that's the idea where Chazal Radashni, that he took her for a Bas, and he, which they say means that he took her for a Bayis, Beisi Zu Ishti. Because that's what a bias is. It's the ish protected by the bas. You find always that Chazal talk about a woman getting married. It talks about a bas, right? It says bas ploini la ploini. Okay. Pasuk ches vayhibi yisham advar melech v'dosoi. When the word of the king was heard, and the v'dosoi, dosoi means like it became like a religious edict. At the beginning, the king, they just advertised that they're looking for girls for the king, but eventually people started seeing that he wasn't accepting anyone, he was too picky, and many people avoided coming, so he made an edict, he made a law, like a religious law out of it. That's Vedasai. Dvar HaMelech was the original announcement. Vedasai meant the religious obligation for the girls to show up. Uvihikovets na'ares rabois el shushan abira. And many young girls came to Shushan Abira, Yad Hegai. Vatilakach Esther el Beis HaMelech. Esther was taken to the Beis HaMelech. She didn't go of her own volition. She was taken by force. El Yad Hegai Shomer Hanoshim. Vatitav Hanar of Einov. The girl was found, how do you call it? Chain, she found, forget the Lashon. Be'einov Atisa Chesed Lefonov. This Hegai liked her very much. And he hurried up that whatever she needed, she would get. And the seven girls that she was supposed to get from the Beis HaMelech, that she had seven servant girls, which is interesting. It's not so clear that all of the girls who were up for contention in this beauty sweepstakes had seven girls. It's possible that this is really only for a girl who actually married the king. She got seven servants. They didn't have seven servants for every one of the contenders, right? And that's why the pasuk says Ve'sheva hanaris haruuyos, that were fitting. It was supposed to be Los Islam Mibes HaMelech, but only Mibes HaMelech, only when she was actually in the king's house. So this was something where he gave her totally preferential treatment that he gave her these girls already now. Right, the guy really says this. He says the oisan and aris shenois to mibeis hamelech lamalka nosan latekef, because this Hegai already sort of predicted that she was going to become the queen. Vayishaneho, and he changed for her. Vayishaneho means he treated her differently. Now it's very interesting. There's a Megillah Starim, which is the Nasivis on the Megillah, and he asks a question as follows. He says, what do you mean Vayishaneho? He assumes that all of the girls got everything they wanted, all of the girls got seven servants and whatever else they needed. So he said, in a place where everyone gets whatever they want, how is it possible to treat one differently than another? What's the Lashon Vayishaneho, that he treated her otherwise, he changed her? You can't change. If everyone gets whatever they want, then no one has any milo over the other. So he says like this, he wants to say pshat in the word Vayishna as follows. There's a machlekes in the Gemara, a three-way argument as to what Esther ate when she was in the palace of the king. As Rav Shmuel and Rav Yossi, I think Rav is the one that says that she ate kosher food, she was given kosher food. Shmuel says that she ate kadli de chaziri, she ate non-kosher, it was pikuach nefesh, she was that's pasha pshat in the Gemara, she was able to eat the non-kosher food. And Rabbi Yossi says that she ate zaroinim, she became a vegetarian. Taisvis on the spot says that the man d'amar who says that she ate chazir, says of course she didn't eat chazir, there's no way she ate chazir. but he doesn't explain what did actually happen. So the Bianca Melissa, the Nesiva, says like this, that according to Rav, she got kosher food. How is it possible that she got kosher food? He didn't even know she was Jewish. So he says that it was an accident. It was a siyata d'shmaya, hashkacha pratis, that she happened to get kosher food for no good reason. It was not as if they bought it for her intentionally. Through pure hashkacha pratis, she was always given kosher food, whereas the other girls were not. And he says that according, that's the pshat in the word vayishaneha, that he simply changed the shopping, the diet was changed from the house of the Hegai Shomer Anashim, from that, they changed it for her without even realizing what they were doing. That's how he explains the word vayishaneha according to Rav. According to the Manda Amru, says that she ate zaroinim, she became like a vegetarian. He says that's Pashup Shat, what Vayeshaneho means. Vayeshaneho means that she herself changed. She changed her own dietary habits and only ate vegetables. And the third Mandamer says she ate Kadu the Chaziri. He says the Nesivis, but Taisa says she didn't eat it. So what actually happened? So he says that it's like the Zohar tells us, that there's a Zohar that says that Esther, when she went to Achashverosh as a wife, so it wasn't actually her, because the tzaddikas wouldn't have to undergo that sort of torture, but a sheidit, like a demoness, was provided for her that looked just like her, and that's the person that Achashverosh was living with, unbeknownst to him. So the Nesiva says that this would be the pshat also over here, that when it came, when they served Kadli the Chaziri, so she was afraid to send back the plate untouched and only eat the kosher food that was there. Because then they would say that she's trying to sabotage her look, she's trying to sabotage her chances of becoming queen. So the same Sheidit, the same demon appeared that used to go to Achashverosh and ate the non-kosher food for her. And he says that's what Vayishanehu would mean in this instance. So all three Manda Amrim talk about food, and he says that the word Vayishaneh is in reference to the food that she ate. Either she changed her diet to vegetarian, or they changed their shopping habits to buying kosher food for her, sort of by accident, or she changed, really, you would say, she was changed for, she was exchanged for a sheidit, for a demoness, and when it came to eating the non-kosher food. Anyway, that's just a nice side pshat explaining the word Vayishaneho. And during this time, Lo Higida Esther as Amav es Meladato, Esther did not reveal what her nation was or where she was born and the family. Ki Mordechai Tziva Aleha Shalei Sagid, because Mordechai told her not to say. And he had his reasons. He was afraid of anti-Semitism. He was afraid that they might be angry that she hadn't come right away and take it out on the Jews. So even though Esther saw that that was not the case, that if anything, they were treating her, Haggai was treating her better than everyone, so it might have been good to say, listen, I'm Jewish, you know, maybe she can get something good for the Jews, but she didn't make cheshbonis, she was told not to say, and she didn't say. Every day Mordechai would go in front of the chotzer of the Beis HaNoshim, Lodas es Shleim Esther, to know how, what was the Shleim Esther means, like how she was doing, how she was keeping. Umaye Yosebo, and what was to be done with her. Right? So you see right away that there's a double Lashon, which it's enough to say, Ladas Shleim Esther, to know how Esther was. Or Ladas Maye Yosebo, what was happening with her. So Rashi on the, over here says that there were two people that were given hints and understood them, they took them, David and Mordechai. They both got a hint of a Yeshua, and they caught the hint, they got the hint. David, when he was younger, killed a lion and a bear, and he didn't just take it as like, oh, look at that, I'm very strong, and you know, tell people how strong he was, a champion fighter. He understood that there's something deeper behind it. So when it came time to fight Goliath, he tuned it in and he said, oh, now I understand what that hint was. Hashem has given me a hint that I don't need to be afraid and I can fight anyone no matter what their strength is. So he took the remez. Mordechai also, when he saw Esther taken to the palace, he understood that this made no sense from a common sense place. Esther doesn't belong in the palace. She wasn't young. She wasn't beautiful. She wasn't beautiful anymore. She wasn't unmarried. It made no sense for them to even take her. If she was taken, it must be that there was a reason and something was going to happen. And therefore, he sort of followed the story. We will see that he did different attempts to get her out of there. But once it was clear to him that she needed to be there and that there was a plan, so he went along with it and directed it towards the ultimate geula of Bnei Yisrael, which was the reason. In other words, he understood that this strange happening had a purpose to it. It wasn't just bad luck or something else, you know, that you might call it. So, understanding that Rashi, the Chayyur explains to us the pshat in these two lashonis. The first thing it says, the Mordechai went lefnei chatzar beis hamelech, every day he checked in l'das eshloim Esther to see personally how Esther was doing, if she was okay, how they were treating her. The second thing was amaye asaba, what is going to be done with her. He knew that there is a greater purpose and there was something afoot. There was some plan that was in the middle of developing here, and he went every day to see what he could learn to understand better what the plan of Hashem was. Okay, we'll take a break here and then we'll do the second half of this class.